Welcome, welcome. This is Joanna Lindenbaum, Master Coach and CEO at Soulful Coaching for Busy Women. And today's topic, training call for the Your Sacred Business program, is the enrollment conversation part two. So to get us started and ready and grounded and just really open to receive all that is meant to be received and learnt through our time together today, let's take a moment and get centered. So I invite you to close your eyes wherever you are. And if you find that, you know, when we do these visualizations, these meditations at the beginning of our calls, if you find yourself resistant to them, which I get, I totally understand, it's not so out of the ordinary, I want to just remind you that anytime there's resistance to something, it's usually because there's fear. Maybe there's fear of being fully present to step into your business in bigger ways. Or maybe it's fear to just really let go and to just be in your body for a few moments and to calm down. And you know, maybe you're scared that just everything is going to fall apart if you just calm down for a few moments. Or whatever it is, but you know, if you've been finding that you have resistance at the beginning of these calls, I really invite you today to look beyond your resistance and just commit to 2 minutes of making inner space just for you. So you can close your eyes. Feel your seat beneath you. Really allow your seat and your connection with your seat to remind you that the earth is always there to catch you. The earth is always there to help ground you and root you and support you. And then from there, focus on your breath. Inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up. Expand. Create space for yourself. And as you exhale, let go. Really using the breath as a way to create a distinction between the busyness of your daily life and the sacredness of slowing down for this 75 minutes. Use the breath right now in your conscious breathing as a marker for yourself that you're stepping into growth time, that you're stepping into transformation time, that you're stepping into learning time, that you're stepping into receptive, receiving time. And let the sweet feeling of expansion and contraction over and over again through the inhale and the exhale be a reminder of all that is possible for you. Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in. And then from there, I invite you to open your eyes and bring yourself fully present to our time together. Awesome. So As I mentioned, we are in for today our part two of our two-part training on enrollment conversation. And last week, during part one of our training, we really looked at the energetics of having an effective and successful enrollment process, right? We looked at the inner pieces, because the inner pieces, the energetics, are really the foundation. It's so important to be in that right mindset and soul set and emotional set, and to be really, as we were looking at last week, embracing of your value and clear on your beliefs around money in order to go into and have a successful enrollment conversation. And what we're going to be looking at today are the mechanics of a successful and effective enrollment process, enrollment conversation. So we're going to really be looking at the nitty-gritty of how to lead your prospect through an enrollment conversation that will hopefully result in sales. Now, as I mentioned last week, this process of learning and mastering the enrollment conversation process is one that's way bigger than two 75-minute calls. It takes time to really develop your skills in this. So I don't want you to get frustrated. This is an introduction to it. We're going really, you know, into the first steps of it. And just know that once you've mastered the first steps, there's more that you can learn. There's ways of improving and up-leveling. This is about making consistent forward movement in this. Now, before we jump right into the mechanics, there's one other piece that I want to mention. And I've mentioned it already a number of times, and I'm going to continue to mention it until I see, as I've been tracking all of you in the program, until I see that I don't need to mention it anymore. I'm doing this just from a place of really wanting to stand up strong for you and for your goals and your visions, and to help hold you accountable. So what I want to remind you of is, if you haven't yet taken the steps to create the template for your first tier letters for your outreach and to send those out, and then for your second tier, this is a real moment to ask yourself, why? Why haven't I done that yet? The tool of, in particular, sending out first tier outreach letters is a tool, it's a tried and true tool. It's a very powerful tool that I can give you to help you bring clients in, abundance in, pretty quickly. So if you haven't, if you've been avoiding it, if you've been putting it off, if you haven't quite been getting to it, if you've been in resistance, right, around it, just like I mentioned earlier, resistance is really about fear. What is it that you're scared of? Those first and second tier letters are direct actions that can help lead you to more enrollment conversations. More enrollment conversations can directly lead to more business. If you're noticing that you haven't reached out to your first and second tiers and you just feel really stuck in it, I want you to bring that issue to our next Q&A call or to the Ning group. It's really important. I don't want you to get stuck there. So both myself and Coach Darcy are really here to help you move through that. Awesome. All right. So with that, let's dive right into the mechanics of the enrollment conversation. So we've got the energetics as our foundation. So what is it that actually happens in an enrollment conversation? Well, as I described to you last week on part one, the one thing I just want to share on the outset is that the process I'm going to be teaching you is a two-conversation process, a main initial enrollment conversation, and then a much shorter follow-up conversation that happens 2 or 3 days later usually. Now, there's a lot of women in this program with a lot of different kinds of businesses and a lot of different kinds of offerings. If you sense that the two-conversation process is not one that makes the most sense either for your business or for the particular offerings that you have right now, that's fine. No big deal. Just use the law of adaptation to take the material that I'm going to be teaching you today and to make it into a one conversation process for yourself. All right? And that can absolutely be done. And I've certainly, over the years, depending on what my offering is, have had either a two-part conversation process or a one-part conversation process. What I will share is that if your offerings are higher priced, so if you are inviting folks into offerings that are, you know, let's say $700 or more or $1,000 or more, I highly recommend considering utilizing the two conversation process. It will really help foster trust and commitment so that your prospect is much more likely to say yes to your offering, whatever it is. And you'll see more as we get into that, what I mean by that. Now, what I want to remind you as well is that with all marketing techniques, an enrollment conversation is included as a marketing technique. Again, this is about creating connection, creating relationship. And you'll see as I describe my process to you, it's not about rushing your prospect. As soon as your prospect feels rushed, you're deactivating the relationship, the depth of the relationship between you two and the trust. So the reason why I'm very particular about this process is because we don't want the prospect to feel rushed. We also don't want your prospect to feel like you're trying to convince them. And enrollment conversation is not about convincing anyone. It's not about showing them what a star you are in your work, but it's about leading them through a process that will help guide them to a choice that is best for them. The other thing that I want to remind you as we look step by step at this process is that as with all marketing avenues, you'll see that what I'm really taking you through is the soul-centered marketing formula. We're going to be looking at how to activate gap in the conversation, how to activate vision in the conversation, how to demonstrate that you're the bridge, that your process is the bridge, your offering is the bridge, and then you're going to make a call to action at the end. And again, the reason why we just apply the marketing formula here is because the marketing formula is an excellent way to create trust, to build relationship, to activate emotional resonance. as I mentioned last week, I highly recommend that you have a script for your enrollment conversations. Doesn't mean that you're going to use the script forever, but particularly for as you get started, it will really help you stay in that leadership position in the conversation. You'll have languaging that's available to you when you need it, and your form available to you when you need it. Of course, it's a conversation, so you're not going to read word for word from the script, but it's really helpful, and I'll tell you guys at the outset now so that you can take super special notes. Your homework is going to be to create your script for your enrollment conversation, your enrollment process. So with that, let's get right into it. The first thing that you really want to do and pay attention to in the enrollment conversation is you want to set intentions for the conversation. You want to set an intention, and you want to invite your prospect to set an intention. The reason why the setting of intentions is so important is that it's important for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's an opportunity for you at the very outset to be very, very clear about what the conversation is about. So what I mean by that is it's an opportunity from the outset for you to be clear that this isn't just like a free call where you're just giving away your skills. It's not just a free opportunity, but it's an opportunity for you and your prospect to connect to see if you're a good match to work together or for them to buy your product, whatever it is. It's really important to be clear there. It's also an opportunity to let them know a little bit about what's going to happen during the conversation and during the process, so they understand a little bit more what they're getting into, what you're going to be leading them through. And doing that is important at the beginning of the conversation because it helps alleviate the fear of the mystery. Right? It's like when you step into something, you don't know what it's going to be. You can get distracted by your fear of the unknown. But if you know going into something generally what it's going to be, it helps a lot. The other reason why setting of intentions at the beginning of the call is so important is that when your prospect sets their intentions, it just lets you know where they're at when they come into the conversation. And that's just great information for you. It really helps you know on an energetic level how they're coming in, and maybe even what some of their concerns are, their questions are. And you can just really use all of that information to help guide the conversation. The other reason why I think setting intentions is so important is it's a great way to just, on an energetic level, to begin a conversation, right? It's a punctuation. It's setting down a structure. And I really like that. So what you don't want to do at the beginning of the call, of the conversation, is to make too much small talk. It can be so tempting at the beginning of an enrollment conversation to make a lot of small talk. I know because I've done it before. But what the small talk does is it knocks you out of your role as the leader of the conversation. And we spoke last week about why that's so important. So number one, when you make a lot of small talk at the beginning, it knocks you out of your role as the leader of the conversation. Number two, it really opens up opportunity for you not to be able to lead and like have control of the pathway of the conversation, because that small talk could just begin to go off in places that aren't going to really support the soul-centered marketing formula. So, and number three, it just kind of wastes time. So you might just in the beginning say, hi, how are you? Or I'm so excited, so-and-so referred you, I just love her. But really from there, you want to get straight to the setting of intentions. And the way that I like to set intentions at the beginning of the call is I usually say something as follows. I'm just so excited and looking forward to connecting with you today, and I like to start these conversations by having the both of us set intentions for the conversation. And I can go first. And my intention is that, first and foremost, that we're able to connect and to connect deeply and that we get to know each other. And then from there, my intention for this conversation is that I hold the space so that together we can really take a good look at what it is that you want for yourself and for your business. And then from there, for us to just really honestly take a look at what's been standing in your way of achieving what you want for your business. And once we do that, then we'll have just a great snapshot of where you are right now and where you'd like to be in the future. And once we're clear on where you are right now and where you'd like to be in the future, then we can talk about what it will take to get you from point A to point B and how I can help you get there. And then I ask the person, and what's your intention? Now, as I'm sure you guys can see from what I laid out, you don't have to use that languaging at all. I want you to adapt it to your work and your offerings, but I'm sure as you can see, what I've actually just laid out there is number one, gap, number two, vision, right? Where you are right now, where you want to be moving forward. What's required to get there is the bridge. And then how I can help you with that is the call to action, right? So just in real short form, even in that intention, I've laid out the formula right there. And then, again, you can ask your prospect what their intentions for the conversation are. And really, as I said earlier, take note because it'll let you know a lot. And if it's necessary to, you know, comment or, you know, on what the intent, your prospect's intentions are, definitely comment or reflect back. Throughout the entire enrollment conversation, you want to be reflecting back to your prospect. It's really important. From there, then you want to move into activating the gap for your prospect. Of course, you're not going to tell them, now we're going to activate the gap, but you know for yourself that that's really where you're going next. And what for me, this is where I often start taking notes in the conversation. And I've found through the years that taking notes during the enrollment conversation are really helpful. It's helpful just for me to get a really clear sense of the prospect and what their needs are and what they really want for themselves and where they're stuck, all of that. It's helpful because it allows me to capture some of their wording and their phrasing, which is just really great for reflection and mirroring back and helping to activate stuff for them. And it's also really helpful if you're going to do a two-call process, then you've just got notes right then and there to go back to as you need them so that you can remember exactly what was going on for your prospect. So I do really recommend taking notes. So how do you activate the gap in an enrollment conversation? Or even before we get to the how, the why, right? And we've looked at this already, but just as a refresher, it's so important to activate gap. It's important because it allows your prospect to to really see where it is they're struggling, it allows your prospect to really see what's not working for them. It allows your prospect to see what's missing for them that's really standing in their way of getting what they want. And activation of the gap, successful activation of the gap, is about activating it on different levels, on the surface level and then on the emotional level, right? So what I mean by that is first you want to find out what's not working for them, what's missing for them as it relates to your offering. And then from there, you want to find out and help them recognize and acknowledge how they're feeling as a result of what's not working for them. So in your script, you want to include for yourself maybe a couple of different examples of how to activate the gap. So for example, one really great question you can ask is simply, what's not working for you right now, right? So let's say you are a massage therapist. Right, so the what's not working for you, you want to put it into context, right? Because it could be lots of different things, but you want to put it into the context of how you can help them. So let's say you're a massage therapist. You might ask a question like, okay, so tell me what's going on in your body right now that's not feeling so good for you. Or another way of activating the gap if you're a massage therapist is, so tell me, you know, what brought you to want to connect with me? Where are things not going well when it comes to your body and your well-being and how you're feeling in your body? Or let's say you're a real estate broker, as another example. So for you, activating your prospect's gap might be about asking them, so tell me what's been frustrating you so far in your search for a new home? Or what are some of your fears when it comes to selling your home? Now, you want in the conversation to take some time, really don't rush over the activation of the gap. It's not sort of like a one question, one answer thing. You want to take the time to really go deep with it. And I think what we'll do, I think we have time for it, is I'd love to do a role play to give you guys a little bit more of an example of how to effectively activate gap in an enrollment conversation. So I'd love one volunteer to come forward. It's *7, and we'll do a couple minutes where I'll act as you, as the entrepreneur, and you'll act as your prospect. So who'd like to be the brave soul to come forward so that we can do a role play? *7 to unmute yourself.
Hi, it's Amy.
Hi, Amy. Thank you for coming forward.
Sure.
Awesome. Amy, remind me again about the work that you do.
I am a psychologist.
A psychologist. Awesome.
A therapist. Yeah.
A therapist. Okay, great. And just tell me briefly as prep, just tell me a little bit about some of the concerns or issues that your clients are coming to you with.
Oh, they come for such a variety of reasons. But often people come in and they just have a general sense that something is coming up under the surface that they're ignoring. They can't totally put their finger on it yet, but just a sense that they're not, something's coming up that they haven't looked at or dealt with.
Okay, great.
On an emotional level.
Okay, wonderful. So let's do the role play, and I'm going to be you, and you're going to be, an ideal prospect, coming forward, interested in possibly working together. And
okay.
we'll pretend like we already set intentions, and then we're moving into the next part of the conversation. And what should I call you? What's your name?
You can call me Amy.
Amy? Okay, great.
Or should I make up a name?
No, Amy is good. Didn't know if you wanted a different one. Okay, awesome. So, Amy, tell me a little bit about what brought you to this conversation. What's really not working for you in your life right now?
Well, I feel like a lot of things are working, but I keep having this sense that there's something going on under the surface that I'm not looking at. And
mm-hmm.
I've had this sort of just anxiety, and I can't totally put my finger on what it is, but it's just a general sense that I haven't dealt with something that I should probably come look at in therapy.
Got it. Okay, I think I'm starting to really get it. So let me just reflect back what I'm hearing. So I'm hearing that, you know, there are some things that are going really well, but under the surface, there's something that's just not quite right. Like you can tell that there's some kind of anxiety or something that's sort of nagging at you that feels a little bit out of place. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, I don't know if it feels out of place because lately it's kind of constant, so it feels like part of my experience.
Okay, good. Thank you for clarifying that. And could you give me an example of it, an example of when this has come up recently, that anxiety or that feeling under the surface?
Yeah, well, I've actually started waking up in the middle of the night, and it almost feels kind of like a panic a little bit. My heart starts racing. And I'm not really aware that I'm thinking about anything in particular, but I just have been waking up a little panicky and having a hard time going back to sleep.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
And also, there's sometimes I feel like when I'm alone, it gets worse. And I'm noticing that I'll be with friends and it's time to go home and I'm like kind of dreading being alone because it's going to come up more.
Oh, okay. I think I'm really starting to get it now. So it can happen sometimes at night where you wake up in a panic, or even sometimes when you're with friends and you're about to say goodbye and there's sort of like a dread about being alone. Am I getting that right? Are those some examples?
Right. Exactly.
And how is this affecting the rest of your life? Like what is, you know, when you're waking up in the middle of the night in this panic, or when you're about to leave your friends and you're dreading, how are you noticing that this is affecting other areas of your life?
That's a good question. You know, I think it's starting to take a little toll on my self-confidence. I mean, sometimes when I'm at work and I notice a little anxiety under the surface that I'm trying to ignore, it's really making me feel like there's something really wrong with me. And it's making me just insecure, I guess, at work and in my relationships. It's like I'm walking around thinking, wow, there's something wrong with me.
Okay, good. I'm so glad we touched on this. This is so important because what I'm seeing here, tell me if I'm getting this right, is that this anxiety, it's permeating into other places, and it's really having an effect on your work life and on your relationships. You're feeling insecure and lacking confidence. Am I getting that right?
Yes, totally.
Yeah. Is there any other, you know, I'm starting to get a sense of how it feels as this comes up in your life. Is there anything else you want to tell me about how it feels, how the anxiety feels, or when you wake up in the middle of the night, what the feeling is for you, or that insecurity?
You mean how it feels in my body, or?
Well, in your life. Yeah, in your life in general. Is it fear? Is it, you know, exhaustion, or is it pretty much that insecurity and the anxiety kind of cover how it feels?
Well, you know, I had a loss early on in my life. I lost a cousin that I was really close to, and I never really looked at it deeply. I mean, I don't think I ever cried or grieved, and I've been wondering, like, have I just been ignoring that and some other things that it might be time to just find someone to look at some actual events maybe that have happened that I haven't really dealt with.
Yeah, I can see how you're making
that
connection.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it sounds to me like what I'm hearing is there's some grief possibly in there as well.
Yeah, I'm wondering. There might be.
Yeah. Well, we know for sure that there's the anxiety and the insecurity. And so I'm just wondering, like, if you project forward, let's say into the next year of your life, just based on everything that we've been talking about so far, Amy, what do you know you don't want for yourself moving forward? What do you know you don't want?
Well, I know that I don't want to have this feeling that I haven't taken the time to really look inward and get in a good place inward with myself. You know, I'm so busy in my life that I don't often take time for me. And I don't want to feel like I just keep going at full speed and don't take a pause to look inward and deal with some of this stuff that I think I've been ignoring. And I guess, and to have it get worse. I don't want it to get worse.
Yeah, okay, good. So what I'm really hearing is that, Amy, you're just done with this feeling like you're just going without really pausing to see what's going on with you and looking inward. And what I also hear is that you truly are just done with these feelings of anxiety and insecurity and waking up in the middle of the night or feeling like something isn't quite right. You're just sort of done with it. You don't want it to get worse, and actually you want it to get better. Am I getting all that right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, good. So let's pause the role play here. And Amy, just tell us, as the prospect in that conversation, how did you feel? What did you notice for yourself? As we took, I think, maybe 4 or 5 minutes there to just explore the gap. How did that feel for you as the client, the prospect?
Well, I was noticing as the client, and often I do have clients that come like this, that I wasn't as prepared as the client, even being able to talk kind of in a cohesive and, you know, like what I was coming with wasn't, I didn't have a handle on it. It wasn't in a pretty little box that I had thought about and was able to articulate.
Yep.
And that's often what my clients feel. Mm-hmm. But I definitely felt like you were listening and listening actively and staying with me and reflecting back what I was saying, and it was helping me clarify what I was saying. Felt like you were right there with me, which felt great.
Yeah, good. So thank you so much.
I want to say the tone that you were using, I think it's another piece of it. It felt really soothing and safe. Which I just want to note that as the client, I definitely felt that.
Yeah, good, because that's a big piece of it is about creating relationship. We want to establish that trust. And then in this part of the conversation, what we really want to get to is to really connect the prospect to what's not working for them. And by the end of our few minutes together, we could really pinpoint these places that had emotional resonance for you about what you just didn't want anymore.
Right, exactly, yes.
Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, great. So I want to hear, I know we could have a whole conversation about this, but just for the purposes of our training call today, I want to hear one share on what you're learning so far about activating the gap and what you learned from that little role play between me and Amy. What's something else that you're learning and observing here for yourself that's important for you? Star 7.
Am I still unmuted or no?
Put star six is to put yourself back on mute.
Oh, sorry, thanks.
So I want to hear one share. What are you learning for yourself? What are you seeing in this that's important?
Well, this is Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. So I just had a booth this weekend. I sell herbs and help people get healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And have been applying a lot of the things, even though it looks like I haven't done all of the homework. But one of the things that I picked up was I do a lot of this. That actually made me feel really good because I'll spend time and I'll talk with the people and see where they are and what's going on. And so that was good. And I liked your tone, and you got had the feeling like you really cared. And that's I was going to say that's what I like to come across as, but I really think that's who I am.
Mm.
I mean, I really do. When I talk to these people, and I think they get it, and I like that. So
awesome, beautiful, yeah, really nice, Carolyn. Thank you. Okay, great. So it's star six to put yourself back on mute, Carolyn. And the other piece that I hope you guys were able to see through that role play is that through just taking the time, I took Amy to a little bit of a deeper level. Right, we started off with just like something feels a little not quite right. I'm waking up in the middle of the night, but through some more exploration, we were able to get at the impact that those surface things were having on her life. And you want to really be able to do that when you activate GAP, because it's going to help demonstrate to your prospect their need for your offering, whatever it is. So once you activate GAP, then the next place where you want to lead your prospect through in the conversation is to activate vision. And as a reminder, vision is what they want for themselves. Vision is what is possible for them should they receive support. And similar to GAP, the reason why one of the things that you want to do in activating vision is not just to activate it on a surface level, but really to get to the deeper pieces of it. So, for example, if you're a health coach, maybe part of your client's vision is that they want tighter abs, right? Or an exercise coach, right? Let's say, or, you know, a trainer. Let's say they want tighter abs. Well, that's awesome. That's definitely part of the vision. But where you want to go in the enrollment conversation is even beyond the tighter abs. So once you get to, like, tighter abs or dropping two dress sizes or whatever it is, you want to get to the deep why underneath it. Why is it that this person wants tighter abs or to drop two dress sizes? Is it because they're going to feel sexier? Is it because they're going to feel more confident about themselves? Is it because it's going to enable them to feel like they can perform better at work? Is it because it'll help them feel like they can go on dates and feel better about themselves? Is it because it'll help them feel like they have more energy to move through their day? Right? Those things that I just mentioned are the deep why underneath surface anything for prospects when it comes to vision. And in an enrollment conversation, as opposed to copy, you know, like an email or a flyer or whatever it is, you've got this beautiful opportunity to really go there and go deeper with the prospect. So in this part of the conversation, you want to begin to activate vision. You want to transition from the gap and ask some questions about vision. Some questions that help explore and activate vision could be as simple as, what do you want for yourself? Or what do you see for yourself over the next 6 months or the next year? Or if you could have an ideal day, what would that day look like? Or, I don't know, if you're a dating coach, if you could go out and on an ideal date, what would that look like? Or what does your ideal partner look like? Or if you could have your body the way you wanted it to, what would that look like for you? Right? So use the law of adaptation here, but these are all questions that really allow you to begin to step into vision. And similar to GAP, again, you want to take it then to the next level. So once you get that surface vision and you reflect it back, then you want to ask, well, how does that feel for you? How would it feel if you could have tighter abs? What would be different for you in your life? Or in your business, or in your relationships, whatever it is, however it applies to you, if you were to be able to X, right, whatever they've mentioned as their vision, what feeling does it activate for you when you feel yourself moving through this ideal day for yourself? So you want to really take the time to activate the vision. And once you get there and get to the feeling, you sometimes what I like to do is just point out the difference between what they mentioned in terms of their gap versus what we're looking at in terms of their vision. And again, I don't use those words, but I might say something like, so you want to feel energized and excited and confident. Well, that feels so different from what you were describing before when you were mentioning feeling trapped and stuck and like time is passing you by, right? So you can sometimes just even say things like that to really help folks see the gap between where they are right now and where they want to be in the future. So once you've activated GAP and once you've activated vision, then we want to move to the bridge. The bridge is basically your brilliance-based system. It is your system, your process, your method for helping folks go from point A to point B, from their gap to their vision. And so the way that you want to communicate bridge powerfully in the enrollment conversation is you want to let your prospect know, first of all, I can really resonate with so much of what you've been talking about so far, of what you've been describing. Right, and the reason why you want to tell them you can resonate with it, it just goes back to everything we've been looking at so far in this program. Your ideal client is a version of you. You want to create a relationship with them by letting them know that you get them, that you really understand where they're coming from and what they want for themselves, and you've been there yourself. You've worked through it yourself. So you want to let them know, I can really resonate with what you've been sharing. And what I often like to do, and again, you know, as it's appropriate, depending on what your industry is I'll share a piece of my personal story that relates to their story as a way of mirroring that, you know, back their gap in their vision, and that I had this process that I went through that got me to the vision. And so that they can see, number one, again, that I really get it. Number two, they can feel more connected to me. And number three, you're beginning to introduce the bridge through that, right? You're beginning to say it is possible to go from this place where you are now to this place where you want to be. And I know that it's possible because I've been there myself. Now, if you're in an industry or in a situation where it's not appropriate to share your personal story, at that point, after you let your prospect know that you can really resonate with them, you can talk about a client success story, right? So if you can't talk about yourself, you can talk about somebody else that you've helped, right? It reminds me of such and such. When I first met her, she was here. And then through our work together, she ended up there, right? Whatever the here and the there are. Once you do that, then you can, as a way of getting even more deeply into the bridge, you can say, and that's exactly how I help other people, right? Once you've told your personal story or your client's story, you say, that's exactly how I help people. And you can say, and I feel very confident based on what you've shared with me so far that I can help you as well. Now, if we were to work together, here are the first three things that I really see us working on. And those three things that you're going to describe to them, you're going to pull straight from your brilliance-based system. You're going to pull the three things from your brilliance-based system that apply the most to this individual's gap and this individual's vision, and you're going to explain briefly, you're going to touch on those things. It will really help give them a sense concretely of the work that you're going to be doing together. And you can let them know, and there's so much more, but you know, these are really the first three places. So you're using, again, your BBS, your brilliance-based system, to communicate the bridge and to communicate the value. And once you've described that to them, then what I often like to do at that point in the conversation is ask what's resonating for you. We've been talking about so much together, so what's resonating for you? That's an opportunity for you to really take the temperature of the other person and see where they're at and what they're getting and what's important to them and how engaged they are. And then after that, we move into the call to action. And this is wording I'm going to give you right now to help lead you into your call to action that is like a magic question. So important. I use it in every conversation, enrollment conversation that I have. And the question is, would you be interested in learning more about how we can work together? If your offering is a product, then you can say, in learning about how I can help you. Would you be interested in learning more about how we can work together? And I promise you that 9.9 times out of 10, if you have successfully activated gap, activated vision, demonstrated bridge, and you are in fact talking to an ideal client, the answer to that question of would you be interested in learning more will be a yes. 9.9 times out of 10. Now, at this point in the conversation, it depends on where you're going to move more fully into your CTA, and how you move into your CTA will be dependent on whether this is a one conversation process or a two conversation process, or you know what your product is or your offering is, that kind of thing. So you'll want to use law of adaptation. But from there, once the person says yes, you've got information to really get, you've got the permission, you've got the permission and the okay to really give them more information about you and call them into the next step. So what I like to do at that point is give them homework for the next call. And I let them know that I'm going to send information to them. I send them my program guide, or information about the particular program that I've described to them in the bridge that I think would be the best fit for them. And I tell them I'm going to send it to them to look over. And I give them homework. I ask them if it'd be okay for them to do homework. And you want to give homework that really helps them pay attention to the information that you're giving them, and not just rush down to look at the numbers. And you want to give them homework that helps reinforce gap and vision and bridge. And then from there, you can schedule your follow-up call. And I recommend scheduling the follow-up call within 2 to 3 days so that you can reconnect when everything is still activated and fresh and there's motivation and there's connection and all of that. Now, on the second call, the second call is much shorter than the first call. We're not going to get too deep into the mechanics of the second call in this program, but what I will share with you is the second call is where you, I really don't like this phrase, but just for lack of better phrasing, is where you make the sale or close the deal. And on the second call, it's going to be much shorter, and you'll start that call the same way as you did with the first, by setting some intentions for that call. And from there, you want, it's still, you're leading them through a process. And the first thing you want to do is ask them about the homework that they did, whatever homework assignment you gave them, and what it was like for them, and what wisdom came forward and through that homework assignment. That's going to help reactivate GAP and vision and bridge, and it'll give you a lot of information about whether or not the programs or the offerings are resonating for your prospect. It'll help you reinforce bridge with them. And then from there, you want to ask them what it was like to just read through whatever your offering is or offerings were, and what really resonated for them through the offerings. Again, just further support of all of the groundwork that you've laid since then, since the beginning of the first call. And then from there, you want to ask your prospects, so how would you like to move forward? What would you like to do? Now, what we're not going to get into right now, though of course we can bring it up in Q&A today or in future Q&A calls, and this is something that I look at really deeply with my clients and my students in other programs, is resistance. So this is the point of the enrollment conversation, that if there is resistance around money or time or timing, those are the three biggies when it comes to resistance, money, time, or timing, that's when it's likely to come up. But again, if you've done a good job of activating GAP and vision and bridge, it's less likely to come up at this point of the conversation. If resistance does come up, what I will share with you for now is that don't freak out by it. Know that fear is part of the process. You've got fears when you step into bigger places for yourself, and your prospects have fears when they're about to step into bigger places for themselves. So just because they have a concern around money or finances doesn't mean that they're not meant to work with you. And I don't want you to be scared to talk with them about that and explore that with them. I don't want you to just back off if there's resistance. But again, remember, you're talking to a human being who has fears. Fear is part of the process. It shows up as resistance. And you're just going to help walk them through it and see what's possible there and see what you can do. Hopefully at this point is the process. When you ask someone, how would you like to move forward, they'll tell you, this is the offering that I want to step into, or this is the thing that I want to buy. And what you want to do at that point is congratulate them. That's just an awesome thing for them, that they're choosing to commit to themselves in that way and up-level themselves in that way. And you want to let them know that you're excited for them. You want to congratulate them. You want to really affirm their decision. And then from there, before you end the conversation, you want to do whatever is necessary to officially get them signed up or registered or started with you. It might be about giving you a deposit. It might be about setting up your first session, whatever it is. If at all possible, you do want to get a deposit or a payment, whatever it is at that point. And you want to get the best. So I want to remind you, number one, your homework is to create a script for yourself based on the information from this call. Your homework is also to get to those first tier and second tier letters so that you can set up these enrollment conversations for yourself. And as we move forward in the program, we'll be looking at other marketing avenues that will lead you towards enrollment conversation, but first and second tier letters are one of the best places to start with that. And that is our call for today. It has been an absolute joy to be here with you today and to share this material with you. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that you do your homework. I hope that you stay on track. And I can't wait until we connect again. Have a wonderful day.